Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
We thank you for the new members. We thank you for the old members. We thank you for the children you have given to us. We thank you for the marriages that have been blessed in this place. We thank you for the destinies that have been transformed for 13 years. Tomorrow, Lord, you have done great and mighty things. For 13 years, you have saved people from their sins. For 13 years, you have redefined destinies. For 13 years, you have encouraged and motivated people through your word. For 13 years, you have delivered people from demonic oppressions. For 13 years, you have been there for us. For 13 years, you have changed lives. You moved us from glory to glory. And therefore, we cannot stop thanking. Please keep thanking God for 3 more minutes. Thank him that he brought us here. He brought us from the mango tree, under the mango tree, to the classroom. We give him praise. We give him glory. Oh, Rasopene Adavia Gozea. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. When we were full of doubts, we did not even envision tomorrow. But some way, somehow, you kept us. You kept directing us. You kept bringing us forward. Thank you for 13 years. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the people you have brought to this fold. We thank you for every man. We thank you for every woman in this church. We thank you for those who used to be with us and are no longer with us. We thank you for their contributions. We give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Rasha da bahayas. Le grenzi maroshe banda bahadoshe. Le kabala da bahashata kabahayas. Le brandi mahashande lebe kabala da bah. Zemaro shande ne masha paragoshe grandes. Merede shega da bahaya. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As we enter your word, we pray for your presence. We pray for clarity to hear your voice and know what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seat. I began a series on patience. I've done part 1, I've done part 2, and I promise to end it today. I pray that I'm able to end it and becomes a blessing. Last week, we began looking at how to grow in patience, how to grow stronger in patience as a Christian. The first thing we said was that you must begin to look at things in the perspective of God and in the perspective of others, that you will not look at things in your own perspective, because the root cause of impatience is selfishness and lack of peace. The root cause of impatience is selfishness and lack of peace. So we said that if you want to develop patience, you must see things from others' perspective. You must see things from God's perspective. You must begin to appreciate things through the lens of God and through the lens of others. So if you are a husband and you want to be more patient, you must see things through the perspective of your wife and through the perspective of God. If you're a wife and you want to be more patient, you must look at the issue from your husband's point of view. Before you can make, looking at it from their point of view does not mean that you are going to buy into what they are saying or doing, but it gives you a broader spectrum to help in your consideration before you speak or you act. So, for example, as an usher, somebody may come to church and you may direct the person to sit at a particular place. And the person says, when you talk to them, don't conclude and say, these are proud people. No. You have no idea what the person has gone through or been through in the day. That even did not stop the person from coming to church. So later, if you speak to the person, you see that the person will tell you that, I just lost my mother, or I'm just from the hospital, or my car got messed up, or my child has been sick the whole week. Then you understand, that is why. But if you don't look at it from the person's point of view, you will not appreciate the value of patience. So today, I don't want to preach that. You can go and listen to it. It's online. You can go and listen. So the second way to build patience is to acquire a sense of humor. Acquire a sense of humor. Learn to be humorous. Learn to create humor. Humor means acquire a sense of laughing frequently. Learn to laugh at situations that should swallow you up. Learn to smile at situations. Learn to smile at the wicked ways of people. Situations that should ordinarily bring you down, you should learn to laugh at it. Learn to laugh at yourself. It will teach you how to be patient. I'll build a point, don't worry. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Learn to laugh at yourself. Learn to laugh at situations. Learn to consider situations in a humor manner. Don't take everything serious. He said, a calm and peaceful, give me the old King James before we switch, please. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Give me an NLT version. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Give me another version. A sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. I love that. BB. A quiet mind is the life of the body, but envy is a disease in the bones. Scientific studies show that people who laugh live longer than those who don't like laughing. There are some of us, we never laugh. We are so serious, as if God has asked you to create another world. As if you are the one writing a constitution for God to run the world. You don't laugh. Nothing is funny to you. The Bible said that a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Give me the amplified version and look at it. It's very interesting. A calm and peaceful and tranquil heart is life and health to the body. But passion and envy are like rottenness to the bones. Maybe could it be the reason why people are dying by heart? It looks like a lot of people don't have calmness and peace. And I told you that impatience, the root cause of impatience is lack of peace. When you don't have peace, you are likely to be impatient. So, science says that When you are not at peace, when you are not calm, when you don't learn how to laugh, when you don't, we don't learn how to smile to the storm, you are unlikely to live long and healthy. Humor is a tension dissolver. Humor is a tension dissolver. Learn to laugh. Humor is a gift from God to be an antidote to anxiety and pressure. Humor. Learn to laugh. Tell somebody, learn to laugh. Learn to be humorous. Learn to create laughter from difficult. The Bible said, Samson found honey in the carcass of a lion. Don't let every issue become a world cup to your heart. Because no matter how anxious and anxiety you become, you cannot add one hair to your hair. So don't make every issue a world cup. As if you don't solve it or you don't win, the world will come to an end. Learn to laugh. Learn to be happy. In fact, when you see blessed is the man, the Bible reads it, happy is the man. Learn to be happy. You can go to the village and people are living in Atakpami. At this time, they have surrounded themselves around a fire and they are chatting, they are laughing. So the villagers live longer than us. Many of us, many young people are dying. You can meet 25-year-old with BP. Because the person is so much under pressure, he has taken world issues as world cup. By all means, he has to do by all means. It's good to be ambitious. It's good to have vision. But be careful that it does not become competitive. Be careful that it doesn't injure your health. That by the time you are receiving the blessing, you are dying out of the world. Learn to laugh at things. Learn to laugh. Don't be too serious with life. Don't be too serious with life issues. You are too serious, like you have rent to pay, we know. You have a car to buy, we know. You need a job, we know. But your worry is not going to bring the job. Laughter is a gift from God. Our ability to laugh is a gift from God. And may you begin to learn how to laugh in the name of Jesus. One sign of a breakthrough is that somebody is laughing. May God cause you to laugh this year. And learn to laugh. Learn to laugh at issues. One time I was using my car and it broke down in the middle of the road. When I got there, I was laughing. I just laughed. I laughed that because, I was late for an event and it had broken down. Another time, I was supposed to preach for someone. It was like Reverend Anthony Enimel. I calculated the time. I left the house around 5:36. When I got to the church, it was 9:30 p.m. They were sharing the grace. When I got there, when I put my leg out, I started laughing. Because whether I'm serious or I'm not serious, the service has come to an end. And there is nothing I can do about it. Traffic for 3.5 hours. I learned a lesson that day. But if you are not careful, you will put it to heart and you will kill yourself. Learn to laugh. Psalm 2, verse 4. Humor is a gift from God to be an antidote to anxiety that leads to impatience. Psalm 2, verse 4. Look at your God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Yes.
Give me a soft version. God is laughing and you are serious. The creator is happy and laughing, and the creature is rather troubled. He said, but the one who rules in heaven laughs. He laughs. It's not carnal for you to laugh. When you laugh, it doesn't mean that you are not serious. Are you here with me? In fact, great people smile. Yes. Great people smile. So learn how to laugh. Tell yourself, I will laugh. I will create time to laugh. I will intentionally laugh at things. Yeah. Don't take everything serious. Giddy, 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 giddy. Well, it's like at the end of the day, men are passing through the earth. And no matter how great your achievement is, somebody will come and achieve something higher than you. And no matter how big your mistake is, somebody will come and commit a bigger mistake. So don't kill yourself. Yesterday I was watching the news, and they were interviewing a very popular actress. I wouldn't want to mention the name. And she was speaking about when she got the first time she got pregnant at the age of 19. Ha! Crack in the mind. Who saved her? The mother. The mother just told her that you are not the first person to get pregnant. And all through her life, it has been only this child she didn't abort. There are many things that we have made like a problem when God can use the carcass of the lion to give you a honey. But you are looking at the carcass and you are crying that this is a carcass. But in there, so far as a man is anointed, no matter the situation that comes to you, you know deep within you, that is the peace of God. You know deep within you that God will not leave you in the mess. It's the peace of God. And it will make you to be patient in God. Laughter is a life's shock absorber. Those who laugh live long. So learn to laugh. Some people, if no matter the joke you crack to them, no matter the movie, the comedy they are watching, they will not laugh. It is like when they laugh, they lose their power. No, learn how to laugh. You will live longer. In fact, it has been connected that people who grow to have dementia, do you know dementia? You know, very old people begin to behave like children. They lose their memory. Those who are in that class, it is traceable to their lifestyle that they didn't know how to laugh. They were always serious. They took everything serious. They didn't know how to laugh. That's why I like laughing. That's why I like comedy. I spend time to watch comedy to laugh. It doesn't change my anointing. In fact, those days when I'm going to preach, 2 hours before the preaching, I'll be watching Tom and Jerry. And my wife didn't understand. I'll watch Tom and Jerry and be laughing. And be laughing. I will laugh about 1.5 hours. I watch Tom and Jerry. And 30 minutes to time to move. Then I start listening to worship. Because the systems of the world is made in such a way that the system wants to put you under undue pressure. Your enemies are putting you under pressure. Your colleagues are giving you peer pressure. Everybody is trying to impress you and let you feel that you are late. They are better than you. You cannot accumulate all this. Learn to laugh some off. The Bible says God is seated in heaven and he laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Learn to laugh at the situation. It looks so tough. It looks so difficult. Learn to laugh. Someone once asked President Lincoln, one of the greatest presidents of America. Now, why is he the greatest president? I have his profile here. Lincoln led U.S. through the period of civil war. defending the nation as a constitutional union. Number two, he defeated the insurgent confederacy. Number three, he played a major role in the abolition of slavery. Number four, he expanded the power of the federal government. And number five, he modernized the U.S. economy. That is how powerful and the work that Abraham Lincoln did. So they asked him a question that, how did he manage his stress? See, one of the things killing people in our time is stress. Young people, gray hair. Young people, growing fat. It's not good health. There's a problem. Stress. Every you meet, now you meet 27, 31, they are great. Stress. So they asked the president, how do you manage your stress? And listen to what he said. Listen. This is what he said. If it had not been for laughter, I could not have made it. If it had not been for laughter. So, you know, when I was preparing this sermon, I said, well, then I'm creating a comedy department. People who have the gift to make people laugh. Yeah. Because some of you have realized that if I don't let you laugh, you'll never laugh. So some of the Sundays, we're going to have comedy. The same way you have drama. We'll give them 10 minutes to make us laugh. By the time you laugh, you know, some of the burdens you are carrying, it's not prayer. It's just laughter. Just laugh. You'll be fine. When you laugh, no, let me not jump the gun. So learn how to laugh. Tell yourself, I will learn how to laugh. Oh, tell yourself, I will learn how to laugh. That's why health personnel will tell you that participate in social activity and sports, exercise. Because whilst you are doing the exercise, some of the exercise, you'll be laughing because you will not be able to do it. Some of them, they are doing, when you try it, you'll be like, hey, Charlie, this is difficult too. You will live longer. You don't exercise. You don't do anything. It's like you are just there from work to house, from work to house. You are dying. You are dying. And may the Lord give you wisdom today. If you can laugh at it, you can handle it. Whatever situation you can laugh at, you can handle. A sense of humor can preserve your sanity. Yes. A sense of humor can preserve your sanity. God has a sense of humor. That is why every great preacher has a sense of humor. Every great preacher, no matter how anointed the person is, in the midst of the preaching, he will make you laugh. Are you here? In the midst of the preaching, he will make you laugh. May you learn how to laugh. May you learn how to be happy. May you learn to smile at the storm in the name of Jesus. God's timing is as marvelous as his sense of humor. Life is full of funny situations. Find even your pet. If you want to laugh, you play with your pet. If you want to laugh, watch telly. The situation can be so difficult. But you see, the more you give all your emotions to the problem, it gets complicated because your emotions isn't strength. Because if you don't know what to do, no matter the amount of emotional strength you have, you cannot solve the problem. So you dispense all your emotions and now you are left with nothing. Emptiness. I mean, this church, tomorrow, I told you, tomorrow will be 13 years by the grace of God. 13. And I can recount a lot of funny moments now. Those days, it was a serious matter to me. But now, when I remember, I laugh. And when I see them now, I laugh. Because you realize that there is no anxious anxiety you apply that will change anything. It will not. Praise God. So learn how to laugh. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. He said, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Give me the BBE. Yes. Oh, Jesus, help me. A glad heart makes a healthy body. Sometimes it's not a demon that is troubling you. You have made yourself sick. You are the reason you are sick. You are never happy. You are never cheerful. You are never. It's like you are praying for breakthrough. God gives you 1,000 CDs. You are not happy. When they ask you, oh, I'm now looking for 2,000. At least celebrate the 1,000. Learn to be cheerful. A glad heart makes a healthy body. You meet people right now, 26 years, they are behaving like 47 years. They don't have strength because we have made our issues become mountains before us. Laugh at the storm. Laugh at the mountains. God's time will solve the problem. God's time will bring an answer. God's time will bring a solution. Don't die before the solution comes. Don't become weak before the solution comes. Don't become sick before the blessing comes. Else when the blessing comes, you will look at the blessing and you cannot enjoy. May you not build houses for others to inhabit. It was a curse on Israel that God put on them. One of the curses God put on them for disobedience that you build houses and it will be inhabited by foreigners. May it not happen to you in the name of Jesus. May you be strong in your body. May you harvest your blessing and enjoy to the fullness in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, but a crushed spirit makes the bones dry. Let me move to the third point. How to build patience. Number three, deepen your love. Deepen your love. If you want to grow in patience, deepen your love. Deepen your love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Deepen your love. Deepen it. Love is never tired of waiting. Love is kind. So give me the KJV so that it will be there clear. Love is patient. Okay, love is long-suffering and is kind. Give me the New King James. There's one that put it clearly. Love suffers long, patience. It's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. So love is not selfish and love is not proud. Give me the BBE. It's a teaching service. Love is never tired of waiting. That's love is patient. Number two, love is kind. Love has no envy. Love has no high opinion of itself. And love has no pride. If you want to grow in the virtue of patience, we have to deepen our growth in love. Because you are impatient towards something or somebody. And the something is controlled by somebody. Or a system. So deepen your love for God and deepen your love for people. Deepen your love for the people around you. Because it's the people around you that will punch or press the button to test your patience. So deepen your love for your siblings. Deepen your love for your spouse. Deepen your love for your church members. Deepen your love for your neighbors. Deepen your love for your friends. Deepen your love for your pastor. Deepen your love for God. Go deep in love because love is never tired of waiting. Give me the NLT. NLT. He said, love is patient. That is what I was looking for. So always go to NLT before BBE. Love is patient. And kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. So when you grow in love, you will grow in patience. You know, The imperfection of people will not matter to you if your root of love grows deeper. Yes. I always tell couples that if there's a reason why you have a tangible reason why you married your spouse and you are not lucky and the reason is very carnal, the day the reason is not there, your love dies. When love grows deeper, if you're a church member and you don't love the church, you will be very impatient with us because our auditorium is not completed. There's heat here. We are now doing the children. We are using cabin for washroom. We are now na-na-da-benda. When will all these things be done? I mean, some people have churches with bad sound, but by the grace of God, we have a good sound. If you are impatient, even with your pastor, you will never commit to a pastor because the pastor is also a human being. The pastor is not a spirit. He's also a human, and every pastor grows into the office. And even when you enter the office, you keep growing. It's just like you have a certificate for an appointment. You are appointed, you still have to grow in the office. So if you don't love someone, his mistakes and weaknesses will drive you away from him. But love covers the multitude of sins. Love covers mistakes. It's mistakes of people that makes you impatient to say things and to do things. So if we grow in love, the mistakes of people would never ever provoke us. It will take a long time. So you have to test your patience level. When it comes to the mistakes of people, your patience level. Learn to grow. Let's grow in love for each other. Grow in love for the people around you, the people you work with, the people you live with. Grow in love for your husband. Grow in love for your wife. Because that is the only way you can grow in patience towards them. This means that an impatient man is an unloving man. Please, are you here? An impatient man is an unloving man. Loving people are patient, and patient people are loving. So if I have to grow in love or in patience, I have to grow in love for the church. If I have to grow in patience for the people's attitude, you have to grow in love for them. Because the mistakes of men will always be there. Human being is synonymous to mistakes. Are you here with me? So unless you don't want to grow in patience, but if you have to grow in patience, you need to go deep in love. You need to love people. You need to love people. You need to love people. Else you never be patient. When you love someone, you care about the person's needs. So remember the root cause of impatience. What did I say? The root cause of impatience is selfishness. But when you love someone, you care about the person's needs. You will care about the person's hurts. You will care about the person's opinion. You will think first about the person before you think about yourself. What are you doing? You are being unselfish. You are being selfless. And when there is selflessness, we conquer impatience. I'm preaching. When there is selflessness, we conquer impatience. But when there is selfishness, we don't consider people's needs. We don't consider people's perspective. We don't consider people's desires. We don't even consider people's point of view. We don't. We think about ourselves. Immediately you fall in that gear of selfishness, you are going to be impatient. Your impatience will grow and your patience will not grow. May we grow deeper in love. When love fills you, offense does not move you to cause harm. When love fills you, offense does not move you to cause harm. And sometimes when love is so high, you are blinded by love. What people see as a problem, you don't see it as a problem. The love makes man blind. Because Jesus was full of love for the world. That whilst we were yet sinners, he still came to die for us. He was not smelling the sin. He was seeing the righteousness he can bless us with, that we can become like him. That is love. And that is patience. So, I pray that you grow deep in love. Your love root should go deep. Tell somebody your love root should go deep. Tell the person, love me. Love me deeper. Love God deeper. And you see, the more you love God, the more you love people. The more you love God, the more you access God's love for you. And you will see how boundless God's love has been shed on you. You see how deep God's love is to you. And when you are fed with God's love, you will effortlessly love people. Many Christians don't love people. We don't. People spoil people to others easily. You'll be discussing something with someone genuinely. The person goes to twist it to say, and these are tongue-talking believers. Christians don't have love for each other. We damage each other. We betray each other. We are envious. We are jealous. We are boastful. We are proud. These are signs that love does not exist, even amongst the brethren. May the Lord help us all. May we grow deep in love. When love is absent, almost everything will provoke you into impatience. Yes. When you are under pressure, what is in you will come out. So if love is in you, love will come out. If love is in you, love will come out. Deepen your love for God and for people. Ephesians 4:2. The last scripture for this one. And I move to the last point. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient. Tell somebody be patient. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for others' faults because of your love. Let love be there. When love is there, you will make allowance for people's faults. Yes, when love is there, you will give room for mistakes. One of the things that charismatic did not learn early is that we didn't learn to give people room to make mistakes. Yes. So we judge people not based on all the good things they've done. We judge them based on what they didn't do right. So you can do all the good things. The little wrong you do, people pick on you on that. And they describe you by that little thing. But they forgot that there was people, if you read the Bible, none of them had a perfect character. None of them. Thomas was a doubting Thomas. Mention them. Peter denied Jesus. He denied Jesus. He's not a bold man. Peter, he cut somebody's ears. Paul will be preaching and insulting everybody. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So Peter was eating with Gentiles. When he saw Paul, he withdrew himself, and then there was a fracas. Paul and Barnabas fought on John Mark. Paul was impatient. Hey, yeah, let go. If you don't, there. Later, when he was old and he learned this one, and he was full of love, he said, send me John Mark. So we may be in the same choir. We may be in the same intercession. We may be in the same church. I will have my mistakes. You will have your mistakes. Accommodate me until I grow in love. Are you here with me? Say, I will grow in love. Say, I will grow in love. Okay, the last point under building a strong, patient life. Depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Depend on the Lord. Patience is not just about your willpower. Patience is beyond willpower because patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. What a word. After Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. So patience is not just a willpower. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is not just your willpower. Is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is not saying that he does not really irritate me. When deeply the truth is that you hate the guy, you are saying he doesn't really irritate me, but deep in you, you hate the guy. That's not patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's beyond willpower. Patience is beyond willpower. Patience is a fruit. Willpower can dwindle, but fruit is fruit. Are you here with me? Patience is not wearing a mask and pretending. When we say be patient, doesn't mean you should pretend. Patience is a form of faith. Write it down. Patience is a form of faith. Any man who has faith is patient. And any man who has patience has faith. Any man who has faith is patient. And any man who has patience has faith. Noah had to wait for 120 years to see the rains coming after building the ark. Are you here with me? Abraham had to wait for 100 years, so maximum or in record time from when the prophetic word came is 25 years. But he had to wait for 100 years of his whole life before he could see a son. Moses waited for 40 years in the wilderness. So 40 years in Pharaoh's house before his time of revelation into his assignment. So it took 40 years for him to discover his assignment. After 40 years, he had to go into the wilderness for another 40 years. I said patience is a form of faith. Then another 40 years to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. 120 years. You say faith is what? Patience. And patience is faith. You need patience to actualize the blessing of faith. And you need faith to wait. So a man of faith is a man of great patience. That is why many Christians today are not developing strong faith, because we are impatient. Somebody begins to tithe. You know, spiritual investment takes time to yield. Spiritual investment, it takes time to yield. Spiritual investment does not yield overnight. It takes time to yield. It takes time to build. The Bible said that when the clouds are filled or full, it will rain. When the clouds are full, it will rain. So if the clouds are not full, activity that should make the cloud full must continue. So spiritual investment does not yield most at times immediately. So God will be taking you through a certain path of test. Pass the test. Don't be impatient to shortcut. Don't be impatient, because God's test is over a period of time. God does not test people in a short time. If it's a short time, there is a heavy demand, like Abraham and Isaac. But God will test you. When you are tithing, when you are supposed to pay your first fruit, we are supposed to pay something. You are supposed to help a poor person. You are supposed to, God is speaking to you. Do this in the church. Do this. Do this. Do this. Stop this friendship. Stop this character. Stop this behavior. Burn this attitude on the altar and pick it not back. I want you to do this for me. And you are doing it. I'll do this and I'll do this for you. You are doing it. Nothing is happening. Be patient. By faith, the elders obtain a good report. And faith is a factor of patience. I see you becoming a strong man and a strong woman of faith. Yeah. This is a long time of patience. From 120 years to 100 years to 40, 40, 40, another 120 years. Everyone in the Old Testament was waiting for the Messiah to come. We have read that Jesus is coming soon. It's only those who have patience who endure to the end. And since we heard that Jesus was coming soon, he has really come soon. It has been a long haul. And today I say Jesus is coming very, very soon. In the New Testament, the disciples waited in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come. So every worthy blessing is connected to patience. So if you and I can build enough patience, because listen, sometimes, even as a pastor, you can feel the pressure to impress. There's so much pressure around you, even as a professional, whatever. There's a pressure from nowhere on you to impress. But you have to develop deep roots in your patient's life. Because in impatience, Abraham brought us Ishmael, and we are still in the problem. Impatience. Don't touch Hagar. Tell somebody, don't touch Hagar. Yeah. Hagar is not meant to be a blessing to you. Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Sarah is yours. Don't touch Hagar. Because Hagar will give you a burden. Hagar will complicate the story. Impatience. The Bible is a book of patience. If you're a good Bible student, you will see that the Bible is a book of patience. Patience demonstrates faith, and faith pleases God. So a man who grows in patience is going to please God all the days of his life. A patient man is a man who will please God. An impatient man can never please God. Please, are you here with me? The hardest kind of waiting, I shared this on Facebook yesterday, last week. The hardest kind of waiting happens when you are in a hurry and God is not in a hurry. When you have given timelines, maybe covenant day of sacrifice, you put and say, God, in 3 months, I want to see this rain. Ah. Your 3 months, God may be saying 13 months for his own reason. The Israelites could have gone to the promised land in 4 days. God made it 40 years. So when you are in a hurry and God is not in a hurry, it can be very frustrating. But the best time is to wait for God's time. The best blessing is within God's time. And I see you getting the best blessing. Waiting is an act of faith. And waiting is a test of your faith. It's an act of faith. And it's a test of your faith. Say, waiting is a test of my faith. And waiting is an act of my faith. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus, but he fell sick. Good Christians also fall sick and die. Are you here? Oh, I just saw an angel pass this side. May a blessing locate somebody. Good Christians also fall sick. The fact that a Christian falls sick doesn't mean that he has done something bad. Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus. Some of you cannot even say that you are friends of Jesus, let alone good friend. But Jesus' good friend fell sick and died. So be careful how you interpret death, the death of believers. So, back to the story. So Lazarus died, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, They sent a message to Jesus that, hey, Jesus, the one you love is sick. John 11:3. Quickly, let me try and land quickly. He said, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend, they have worsened their case, your dear friend is sick. So Jesus' dear friends can fall sick. And sickness can be in any form, whether physical or any kind of disease, it's a sickness. When Jesus heard it, he didn't rush there. He stayed for 2 days more. Wambo. He stayed. And to their estimation, it is delay. Please, are you here? In the natural sense, Jesus has delayed. Because Jesus, we needed you now, now, now. By the time he came, Lazarus had died and the body was already in the tomb. Possibly started decomposing because there were no preservatives. I said, from the natural perspective, Jesus seemed to have been late. But Jesus knew he was not late. He was on time. Sometimes we are too much in a hurry and God's timetable is not enforced in our hurriedness. God's perspectives always work at the end of the time or at the end of the day. How God wants to work it, it will work. When you work it your own way, for his ways are far above our ways. When you work it in your own way, you will get locked. You will get to a point and you'll be blocked. You will have to sometimes reverse back, discover the path of God. So you delay your own self. So instead of praying against the spirit of delay, pray that God will give you the wisdom to patiently follow his path to the blessing. Amen. Sometimes people will give you pressure. You must be there. You must do the thing. But make sure that you know it is the path God wants you to take. Then you can add the passion. But if you have passion on the wrong road, you are not going to end successful. You have passion on the wrong road is equal to not know having a road and not having passion. So just make sure that you are on the right path. Jesus walked to Lazarus' tomb and called him forth. Verse 43. He just called the man. He just called the man. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come off. Come out. And he came out. That means Jesus has the solution. God has the final say. What you are looking for, at the end of the day, was it not what they were looking for? That Lazarus will not die. Yeah, Lazarus was brought back to life. When Jesus came, they thought it was too late. Whatever you think is too late, just wait for Jesus. Just be patient for Jesus. When he comes on the scene, it doesn't matter how degraded the situation is. He will give you what your heart has desired. I thought you'd say amen. God is never late. God's timing is perfect. Write it down. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Our timing can be problematic. Our timing can be faulty. But God's timing is perfect. He usually does not use our schedule, but he clings to his time. He works with his time. Psalm 37, verse 7. Our prayer cannot change God. Our prayer aligns us to God's will. And it teaches us what to do in order to get what God has ordained in his will. Your prayer cannot change God. It's not possible. It can change situations. It can change you, but it cannot change God. Because if our prayer can change God, then we can control God, and which is error. Please, are you here? So he said that be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't hurry about evil people, or don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Verse 8. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose temper. It only leads to harm. Maragasata kayabayas. Waiting is equal to trusting God delighting in God and committing to the ways of God. Let me give you the definition of waiting again. Waiting is equal to, this is my definition. Waiting is equal to trusting God plus delighting in God plus committing to the ways of God. Waiting is equal to trusting God, delighting in God, and committing to the ways of God. Psalm 37, verse 3 to 5. I'm landing. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Verse 4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart desires. Verse 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. I said waiting is what? Trusting God plus delighting in the Lord plus committing to the ways of God. God wants you to trust him. Your patience is an evidence of your faith in God. May your faith in God reward you. May your trust in God reward you. May it give you the final say. May it give you the last dance. May it give you the last trophy. May it give you the reason why your enemies will worship your God. In the mighty name of Jesus. May your patience provoke a blessing over you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave. So if God was not patient with Paul, will we get 17 books of the Bible? Are you here with me? There are people that you are impatient with, but they carry a blessing that is bigger than you. That is bigger than what you need. There are people who are in their mess situations now. There are people who are not aligned to the will of God today, but they are carrying something that the globe needs. We need to be patient with that. The Bible said that God, our Lord's patience, gives people time to be saved. We thank God for the life of Paul, that Paul was not destroyed. Like, we wouldn't have had 17 books. Some even ascribe 19 books of the New Testament to Apostle Paul. If God was not patient with David, listen to me. May God help us to grow in patience. God is patient and he wants us to be like him. If we are his children, then the DNA of patience must be in our blood. Patience is part of the character of Christ. I want you to close your eyes and put your hand on your heart and begin to pray for the cultivation. God should help you to grow in patience. God should help you to become a patient man, a patient woman, a patient husband, a patient wife, a patient church member, a patient working colleague, a patient Christian, Kabalosha Brandaba, a patient spiritual person, Marakadaba Baba Balada, a patient father, a patient mother, Legado Shadaba Hayas, Mandadaba Shakabani Mokoba Handas, Zeveleme Kapani Boza Grandea, Lekaba Papaya Kadlembo Rosanda, Mende Kivaka Santa Cambrondeka, Mande de Dose Katande Mahaya, Rabado Shanta Bahaya. May the Lord grace us to cultivate enough patience. May our root in love go deeper. May we depend on the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, may we begin to see in the perspective of God and in the perspective of others. And may we learn to be humorous. May we learn to laugh in the name of Jesus. May the mountains that come against us, may we laugh at them. May the storms that rise against us, may we laugh at the storm. You will prevail the storm. You will have enough patience that your faith will be quality enough to obtain a good report as the elders obtained. I pray for every impatient person, anybody being trapped in an impatient spirit, in the spirit of impatience that is leading to your destruction and leading to you missing the blessing of God, I pray a U-turn. I pray a U-turn. I pray for grace to come upon you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'll be patient. Say, I will look at things from others' perspective. I will look at things from God's perspective. Say, I will learn to laugh at the storm. And then tell yourself, I will depend on God. Yeah, I will depend on God. And I will grow deep in love. Four things. May you not forget this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, someone.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Caris Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Caris Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Caris. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.